This is the part two of the podcast for Monday, February 6, 2017, The Year of Knowledge. And starting out with Hume. So Hume is kind of a forerunner to Kant. So he takes Berkeley's arguments one step further and in a lot of ways paves the ground for Kant. I think I'd like to hold off on Kant a little bit until we finish talking about Hume, because I think he'll make more sense. So one way of looking at these guys is kind of as a progression. And as they get more and more empiricist, they also get more and more skeptical. And again, skeptical in the, I suppose, in the normal sense, not in the, you know, skeptical compared with, say, what most people in the West believe. So you get Locke, Berkeley, and Hume. And so as you get, let's say, the empiricism, how empiricist are they? It's you get sort of more and more. So you get Locke's kind of moderate empiricist. Berkeley is an extreme empiricist. I don't know what comes after extreme.
Absolute.
Yeah, absolute. Uber extremist. So he just takes it even farther. And you look at this, the skepticism. Again, Locke is sort of, you know, I'd say non-skeptic. And he's more common sense. Berkeley is really a skeptic, even though, you know, despite protestations. And then Hume is an extreme skeptic. I'll put anti-common sense. You know, common sense is nonsense. So, and it's no accident that the more extreme they get, the more extreme empiricists they get, the more skeptical and the less common sense they get. And it's because of these empiricist principles. If you say, all I'm going to go on is what I can see, taste, touch, smell, and hear, then there are only so many things you can know. So you start with Locke, for example. Locke has God. Locke has the material world. He has cause and effect. Whereas Berkeley, there's no God. Well, I'll just put me instead of what he doesn't have. Sorry, God. He still has God. Let's think of Hume. So Berkeley has God. There's no material world. There's only mental causation. Again, this idea of willing or intention that you can sort of make decisions to do certain things, and the not the material world, which doesn't exist, but the world of experience will change according to those things. But that's God giving you certain sensations, reacting to your intentions. Intention. Willing intention. And then maybe I'll put ideas up here. And ideas. So then the question is, I'm leaving something out. God, also you have a mind. God and mind, other minds. So God's kind of an infinite mind, and there's human minds. So Locke has God, minds, material world, cause and effect, and ideas. Barclay has God, minds, mental causation, no physical causation because there's no physical world, and ideas. What does Hume have?
Ideas.
Ideas, that's it. Ideas only. So ideas and the relations between ideas. So Hume says there's no God, there's no material world, there's no such thing as cause and effect, and you don't have a mind. If you want to follow empiricist principles, and Hume's convinced the empiricist principles are what you should use. And so on empiricist principles, Hume says there's only ideas and the relation of ideas. So there's certain relationships between certain kinds of ideas. And that's all you can say. So this is all you can know. And Hume will say this is the same as all you can say exists, and which is the same as all that can be proven empirically with empiricist principles. And Hume sees these as all the same. So he says you can't say, well, even though I can't prove it, I believe it exists. This is kind of like people that say, okay, well, I never seen God, and I don't have a good philosophical proof for God's existence. But I still think that he exists. And that's the idea that you can say something exists even though you have absolutely no proof for it. Hume would say that's ridiculous. That if you have a belief, you have to have evidence for it. So all you can really know is that that you have certain kinds of experiences. And then you know where they come from. You know whether they're coming from God or from the material world or from something you can't conceive of. And so you just can't say what they're... All you can say is that I have ideas. And by I mean a collection of ideas. So, let's see. They talk about Hume's, like, nomenclature. Hume's a kind of interesting guy. He was pals with Adam Smith, who wrote the first big work on capitalism. The sort of classical liberal political theory. Adam Smith also had this book on the moral sentiments, which there's a lot of. He was a big inspiration. I think Smith inspired Hume to write his book on ethics. So they were both pals, and they both believed in like the kind of liberal program, which is get rid of the aristocracy, representative democracy, free markets instead of having the nobility control all the resources and the people. Classless society, equal rights, there's sort of lots of modernistic notions that we have today. Hume wanted to make it as a writer. He wanted to be a big shot philosopher. He wrote this book called The Treatise, and he says it fell stillborn from the press, which is basically like it was an abortion of a book, right? It didn't get a chance. It was killed before it got a chance to start its life.
That's how he praised it?
No, it wasn't praise. It's he was lamenting that it was a flop. Basically, it was a flop. It fell, you imagine like it fell stillborn from the press.
Yeah.
So you imagine the metaphor of like a woman giving birth to a dead baby. And that was, you know, authors think about their books as their babies, right? It's just sort of flop, there it is, it's dead. Before it even, you know, as soon as it comes out of the printing press, it's dead on arrival, essentially. So it was a big flop. Nobody liked it. And so then he started writing these history books. And Hume's histories were super popular. He got really famous. And he finally, he had kind of a thing for fame. He wanted to be a famous and a big shot. I think he craved the approval of people. He was kind of a party animal. He liked going out to you know, meeting people, super social and gregarious, witty and funny, and knew a lot of like the, you know, movers and shakers of society. And he was sort of where he wanted to be. And then, and his histories are actually still used in Britain today. And then he decided to come back to philosophy, and he wrote this book called The Inquiry, which is sort of a reworking of the treatise, and finally was received with praise and became a very influential philosopher. So there's a little bio on Hume. Yeah, he died in 1776. That's going to know date-wise. So Hume says, if you think about like your experience, because that's where we have to start from, our experience. He wants to kind of give a phenomenology of experience. So again, it starts to look a little bit more like the postmodern philosophy. So you think about what we have, and he uses the word perceptions. A perception is any mental phenomena. Any mental thing. So, and perception, so it's something that happens in your mind, which doesn't exist, but we'll get to that later. So a perception is basically like a mental event, if you like, or a mental thing. And then there's two kinds. There's impressions, and then there's ideas. So this is a little confusing because Hume used the word impressions for what all the other philosophers we've been looking at use the word ideas. So remember Locke talks about like having experience of redness means having an idea of redness in your mind. And Descartes in the same way talks about ideas as sort of any mental event. So all those philosophers use the word ideas. Hume used the word perceptions. And then, so impression, he says, is that's the original. And he says, these are things that, who knows where they come from, they just hit us, and it's and this is what we would call, like a normal person would call seeing a material object or hearing a sound or having some sensations. These are like from the five senses. So I'll just put maybe sensing. Sensing. So when you have a sensation, you see a tree, you reach out your hand, you feel the rough bark, you see the brown color, you look up and you see the blue sky. That's having an impression or a series of impressions. Then later on, you're thinking about the experience. These are copies. Let's say originals and copies. They're copies of the impressions. So when you're having a memory of seeing the tree and putting your hand on the rough bark and, you know, carving your beloved's initials into it, your Valentine's Day is coming up and you're thinking about that event, and you're remembering that, it's like a copy of that original experience. And so this is what he says we call thinking. And this would include remembering, calling to mind, contemplating. Right? And the only thing we know about these things is they're copies of these things. Although there's some other like similar, or there are other distinguishing features. So these, he says, are vivid and lively. So like when you're actually seeing the tree, you're feeling the bark, that's a vivid, lively sensation. When you're thinking about it later, it's kind of hazy, right? You can't, and if you were to ask, well, how many pine needles to a bunch, you know, maybe you probably don't even know. If you were able to, if you wanted to match up the hue of the sky with the new wallpaper you want to get, you wouldn't be able to know exactly what it was. So it's sort of, these are kind of faint and hazy and indistinct. And then these are passive. So you don't have any choice as to what impressions you have, right? You don't have a choice about whether you have an impression of, say, running into a tree when you're talking to your friend and not paying attention. Or, you know, whether some ninja chick with a can of mace gets you at the Milo event or something, right? Right in the face with a pepper spray. It's like you don't have any control over that. Whereas when you're thinking about stuff, this is an active experience. It's under your control. You can do whatever you want. You can think about whatever you want. Like you might be thinking, oh, it's 3:20, time to go. So we'll continue with Hume on Wednesday.